The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Tony Payne and Cameron Utley. Hey guys, good to see you. Glad to be back for another discussion. I think this is going to be a good one.
It's great to be back. This is another great day for financial planning.
And this is a duo we were just talking. We've not done this combination before, so it'll be fun to see you guys kind of riffing off of each other.
Oh, it is. It's one. I look forward to it, Cameron. You and I have had some good meetings, good learnings together, good back and forth, and you keep teaching me, so I'm excited for today, see what else I can learn from Cameron today.
All right, so let's get into it. So today's topic is big life changes, big money decisions, when to call in a pro. So we're talking about when it's time to call on a fee-only financial advisor. And, you know, if I can kind of just sort of set the stage for people, I think we've all kind of experienced, you know, you start to make more money, you know, especially business owners, you know, maybe I'm hiring somebody, fast forward 5 years after making a decent salary, you know, decent income, why can't or shouldn't I pull the trigger and have somebody help me with my finances? You know, do I buy a house? Do I wait till I get married? When is it? When's the timing? So that's kind of what we're going to get into today. We've got some discussion points that I want to run through and kind of pick your brains. And,
All right.
You know, I guess my first question is, as a layperson, does net worth matter when you're starting out?
When you say starting out, again, to me, everyone's different.
So here's the thing. Let me just share. So I'm, you know, back in the day, I'm raising my kids. I'm at school, I'm at the high school, and a leaflet comes through the mail for me, a free steak dinner for financial advisor. And I considered it, but didn't know enough about it at the time. I was leery of a hard sell approach. I was afraid I would be kind of like the whole timeshare
Understood
setting.
Understood completely. That steak dinner wasn't for free.
Yeah, I don't. I personally don't respond well to that particular, environment. So I overlooked it. And looking back on it, hindsight's 20/20. I wish I had gone, heard the person out just to see what that world was about, because I could have used the help when it, you know, back in the day. If I knew then what I know now, just, you know, working with you guys. So my questions, you know, as I'm putting this outline together, as a person that's not a CFP, you know, what's the criteria? Is there a criteria, or is there a benchmark in life that says, okay, it's time to start getting help? You can only take yourself so far. This is a universe.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier, but the idea is the phrase, everyone needs a financial plan. Not everyone needs to hire a financial planner. And as we're talking today, I know you use the phrase financial advisor specifically. We're financial planners, but we know there's going to be plenty of other members of the team that are other advisors, whether you need an accountant, an attorney, someone specific for an insurance need. So all of those are different advisors, different financial team members that, depending upon where you're at in life, you may need to hire them at different points. But the basics of everyone needs a financial plan, maybe not everyone needs to hire a planner. I think we're going to talk about today a few of the, you know, nuances of when might you actually hire a planner? When is it worth it? Or what are those triggers to hire someone? But to try to answer it broadly, Tracy, I think everyone needs a plan. It's some of these examples of when to hire. Cameron?
I think everyone at some point, and maybe there's exceptions, there's always exceptions, but I think at some point you run into a roadblock. Whether that's any, you could use a financial planner as an example. You could use a trainer as an example. You could go to the gym, you know, January resolutions, go to the gym every day. And
new year, new me.
Yeah. And you go every day for 6 months and you just don't see the progress that you thought you'd had. Well, you're probably then going to go to maybe the the browser box and look up, you know, Google something, or maybe you seek out a trainer or you seek out friends who are further along than you and you ask them questions. It's the same thing with your financial plan. Maybe you're moving to a different employer. Maybe you're just starting out your first job and you don't know, you're already overwhelmed. Maybe you're 20 years into your job and things have just gotten complicated enough that you just either don't want to deal with it or you don't know how to deal with it. So I think I just think everyone at a certain point runs into a roadblock.
Man, I love this analogy, Cameron. I can't help. You see me. I'm chomping at the bit.
You're like
I'm excited.
Dancing in your seat
but
right now.
The idea of painting that picture, because it's so common. You're at work. You're around the water cooler. You're talking to friends. You're talking to other coworkers. It naturally comes up. You get some notice at work about the 401k or some benefit or the stock. That's usually where people are talking or hearing other financial advisors or different ideas out there. And you said it, Cameron, it's almost like the gym. And you maybe look around and see others' progress. But with finances or financial planning, that's really hard to do. You don't know who's debt financed, who may have a trust, who may have had other windfalls. You have no idea the behind the scenes of someone's picture or perhaps all their losses or those kinds of things. So when you're thinking about the idea of looking around at others, I would definitely say keep that in mind, because even the steak dinners, those things, when you, and I heard you keep using the phrase looking for help. Looking for help. Mm-hmm. And that's the genuine way that a lot of people do it. And I just can't sit here and take it anymore because, darn it, most of those aren't helping. They're to sell products. And when you think about what is it that you're actually getting, what are you hiring, that's really important for when do I need an advisor.
So that's the first leg, then, is to make sure you understand the compensation methods.
I think so. I mean,
so let's go into that. Let's explain to people what those look like in our industry.
Sure. I think there's three main versions. The one being the sales component. You might call that a commissioned advisor, meaning they have a service to provide. You pay. It usually comes with a product. You move forward with that based off of what you purchase. The advisor gets paid accordingly. You know, however much in a commission because of what you bought through them. And the other side, the complete opposite side, is fee only. Where you're paying for a service, there's no products, there's no gimmicks. What the fee is. You pay it, you know that you're going to get everything, and you know, kind of an all inclusive. And then you sort of a hybrid where it could be a flat fee to come in and start service, and then they might sell products as part of their service.
So that's fee based.
That's fee based. Where there would be a product that would provide that advisor with a commission.
So there's a couple C's. I always say this. I revert back to it. But compensation's a big one, but also comprehensive. So it's important to know, are they fee only? How are they compensated? Mm-hmm. Is it only by pushing product or maybe by making me see the light of a product and making me want to buy it? Or, you know what, are they even looking at these other parts of my plan? Am I looking for purely an investment advisor? Maybe I'm funding my IRA the first time and I don't know where to start. That's one thing where you may be looking for a specific person, or you may say, look, I've finally got this business under my control. The family inheritance is mine. I need to make sure that all of our ducks are in a row. You may need a complete team there,
right?
The lawyer, the accountant, the insurance person, all the above, or hopefully use the existing team if they're in existence.
Mm-hmm. So in my conversations with people over the years, this comes up a lot, that there's a sort of a pushback to the idea that an advisor or planner, let's say either or, would sort of take over and remove control over what they're doing with their money. So I kind of want to address that sort of fear that people have as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that's palpable. You know, if you've spent your whole life building. And I mean, I actually know somebody who had a massive portfolio business owner, CEO business owner, who felt like he didn't need financial planning help. And in conversation enough with him, learned that he had a huge investment portfolio, but no other foundational items in place. He's now working with a financial planner and advisor because you're going to, suffocating logic, you're going to tap into that big bag of money to sustain your lifestyle. If your house burns to the ground, you don't have the right type of insurance or estate planning or that kind of thing in place. And we talk a lot about those things. So stepping back into the question, you know, what's your input to that?
Yeah, we were just having a conversation with Craig about this, another planner on our team, that the way at least we look at it, and some planners, some places are set up where they look at one specific part of your plan to each their own. We like, again, we're very big on the comprehensive piece. And the way, the reason we think that is because every decision is a sort of kind of, you know, putting a nail on a windshield. It starts to spider into other things. For instance, I think a good one is the house. You know, and if you're looking to go from one house to another or buy a house for the first time, you got to not just worry about insurance, worry about, you know, if it's close to your work, but you got to worry about how that's going to affect your cash flow, which could inhibit your ability to save, which could, you know, change your tax. You know, buying a house can have some tax ramifications when you meet with your accountant. So there's a lot of considerations that are in place by just making one decision to buy a home, for instance.
So that alone, you said it, Cameron, that could be a trigger back to the original question, when to hire an advisor. Well, it depends, and certainly you have to know, what am I looking for? Am I looking for advice? Am I looking for a tool? Some of that's driven by how is that person paid. If they're only paid by selling a product or by that commission, read the fine print, and I know it's there, trust me. They'll say what their responsibilities are, mm-hmm. what their scope is. And if you don't see in there, help me in the home buying process, ask directly, mm-hmm. is this something that you would help me with? And get that hopefully in an email. Get it in writing. Mm-hmm. Because if their scope is anything outside of that IRA, great. That's a good thing, hopefully, for your house purchase. But you want to know that going into it. Otherwise, you may not be dealing with the right advisor.
You might be charged extra fees for extra emails and phone calls too, right?
Well, yeah, that. And again, the idea of, oh, sure, I can help you with it. What they may mean is, oh, call me for the money when you need the down payment. I'll manage the account. I'll do this. I'll do that. And when I say I'll help with the house, that just means give me a call and I'll send the money out.
Yeah. We have this constant conversation of, do we want to, you know, are you looking for an expert on, and usually an expert delves in one particular area, or are you looking for a coach or someone to help you point you in the right direction towards whatever you want to go towards? And we see ourselves maybe more on the coaching side, and we love to pull in the experts when needed, when we are, you know, we'd know enough about just about anything that'd be dangerous, but there are things where we seek advice from an expert just as everyone else would. Like, just if you were to go to a trainer, you can get away with a lot on YouTube, but at some point, to know exactly what you need, you should go to the expert.
Great advice and great analogy. It's context is important here. So we talked about life milestones, you know, getting married, starting a family, buying a home, career changes, those kind of things. But what about when people have to start evaluating their financial complexity? When a DIY isn't enough, and I've talked to enough people who are savvied enough to get themselves to a certain point, and then they're getting ready to turn the corner into retirement, and the whole Social Security conversation, Medicare, all of those things that web that works with their nest egg and their employment, even pre-retirement. You know, at what point do you talk about financial responsibilities and investments and that kind of thing?
So to that, really, when we think about what is it that we do, John Sustine and Company, what is it that we provide for people? It's peace of mind. So to answer that question, if you're lacking peace of mind, you have those questions, you're not sure that you're doing it right, those are the kinds of triggers to say, let me talk to somebody, let me get some advice, dive in a little deeper. Maybe you're not there to hire an advisor yet, but you're there to interview, learn a little more so that you're asking better questions about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of those things you think about I can't help but say the vanilla maybe of planning. You've just started out your first job, you're renting, you have your renter's insurance, maybe you have your old car that you paid off. That's pretty simple. But as maybe we've gotten married, maybe we have children, we have a financial plan now because we've got a college fund, we've got a retirement fund, heck, we may even have an estate plan, or we're ducking our heads in the sand because we don't. And again, depending upon the kind of advisor you would talk to, they may not bring up any of those other items aside from what's in the IRA, what's in the 401k, what can we invest? And we are very much about the idea that it's so much more than investing. So if you're really looking for advice, it really depends upon how uncertain are you? What is your question?
So you're really talking about like recognizing the warning signs that you might need an advisor, like triggers.
I think the other thing of it, a couple, I guess, buzzwords come to mind because I'm a firm believer on the point of everyone needs to have a financial plan. Maybe not everyone needs a financial planner at first, but at some point it is appropriate for most people. I also believe that most people have the ability, if you don't need a financial planner, everyone has the ability to become a financial expert. But do you have the time to want to invest outside of what your current duties are as a parent, as a professional? And then do you have the desire to invest in yourself in that way? Some people, like, again, I hate to go back to the fitness example, but some people have the desire to invest not just in getting their health and fitness in the right place, but also to either teach others how to do that, to become an expert in that field. But some people just seek other advice for that, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is really neat too, because the idea of when is the right time. Yeah, again, there's different triggers maybe, and one that I think of is kind of funny. I say funny, but if you ever look at your W-2 and you see what was withheld for the year and you just sit there in shock a little bit, or you're looking at something else, a normal pay stub or your Social Security statement, and you're starting to go, where did all this money go? Mm-hmm. How is it? Whoa. Mm-hmm. When you have that feeling, that's another good reason or trigger to perhaps talk to somebody, start looking at it more deliberately. You know, we have very educated people, very smart people, like you said, Cameron, that are even financially savvy. They may be other planners even, but the idea of, do I have the time and am I biased? You know, sometimes when you're doing your own financial planning, you may have your own biases internally that you don't recognize, but they may really be inhibiting something. You know, I can't help but think about somebody who had a vacation property, had been in their family numerous years. They were thinking, savvy, let me rent it out, let me keep it. And sure enough, different things happened
that direction.
Where that wasn't the best move for mm-hmm. them. And everyone's a little different. But in their case, with a little unbiased advice, there might have been some other questions asked to say, is this the right move? Rather than, oh, yeah, I just put that to the side. I don't even think about it. So that's another reason where even if you're pretty savvy there, you may want to talk to someone if you think you've got your ducks in a row, just to have someone look over your shoulder mm-hmm. to say, hey, forget my biases. Look at this fresh.
Yeah, I would imagine that there is quite a bit of, you know, when somebody comes into an inheritance or a windfall and they have friends who are invested in X stock or involved in crypto or any kind of thing that they fast action, get rich quick thing that that person might think is relevant, that would be, I would think that would be based on personality too. You know, if you tend to be a follower type, be really careful where you're getting your information. Just because it works for one person doesn't mean it's your scenario and it's your best action.
Gravity really applies to so much. I mean, what goes up must come down, right? We know that we can't push so far in one direction without something happening in another. That same idea, gravity works with finances. It works with investments. There is no quick way around it. That's why we're named managing to be wealthy. Mm-hmm. You manage to be wealthy. It is a process over time. It's not something instant. You might have a windfall or an inheritance or that one event that comes through, but that's usually the process of a life's worth of work or building towards something where now I need to really make sure I'm protecting this.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a little bit before the show, informally, cost versus value. Right. So, you know, what does it mean for somebody to say, I need the help. I'm starting to make more money. I really don't know what I'm doing. Or someone who a business owner that's raking it in, you know, and create a nice fat lifestyle. But now we're getting ready to juke and head towards retirement. And they're sitting there thinking themselves, why would I want to pay somebody to help me navigate this? So let's talk about cost versus value.
Again, I'm going to throw others in our office under the bus.
I mean, when do you ever have the time? I guess is what I'm saying. I think that's human nature. We all kind of say, well, yeah, you know, I'll do that when I'm making more money.
You know. I mean, Cameron, you keep using these good examples. Think about your oil change. I mean, we could all pretty much go out there, change our oil. Maybe not on some of the newest vehicles, but mm-hmm. you go out there, change your oil. But do you? No, you hire the expert. They go through. They do their thing. They're familiar. That's all they do. That same idea, apply that across the board to why do I have an expert? Why do I get experts for anything? Well, they're the ones doing it all the time, each day. You know, 20 years ago when I started my practice, the tax rules were this. I've been seeing patients. I've been growing my family. It's 20 years later. Guess what? The tax laws have changed greatly. Mm-hmm. The environment has changed greatly. So where you think you may have been up to speed on things, that's where the expertise or someone who's really living that world can hopefully add some value, and you recognize, yes, there's a cost to that, and part of that is that cost reasonable? Mm-hmm. You know, we encounter that a lot because we're very transparent. Mm-hmm. Here's a flat dollar amount. Here's a fee for the year. That's what it is for financial planning with our company. That's a little different than having money in a portfolio and never seeing that. Hey, how much am I paying you again? Mm-hmm. You've got to go to your statement. You've got to add up each account, maybe monthly, figure out how much you're paying and how much is going to that. It's a real process. So that lack of transparency in the financial industry is where it's so hard to determine cost versus value, mm-hmm. because a lot of people may feel value when accounts are up or that kind of thing, but they're not recognizing the cost side, which we really want to bring up and say that's so important because cost is usually driven by compensation, and that's going to drive what are they looking at.
Mm-hmm. And you're kind of answering my question, but we always get the question, why fee only? What makes fee only so spectacular? Why is it better? So, you know, let's kind of share the passion that we have for what we do every day, and we don't necessarily need to, you know, put down other compensation methods, but why fee only? Why is it better?
Again, I tell stories that are simple here. I'm looking at my computer right now. It's an Apple computer. We love it. It's a great, safe machine. But is it for everybody? No. Is it going to be the right fit for everyone? No. If I was only compensated by the great people
at
Apple.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. Different things.
But I'm sorry.
As if I was only compensated by the great people at Apple, again, there may be the best machine for you, the right fit, right next door to you that's half the cost, but I can't bring it up. It's not something I can bring up in my store. It's not something I'm trained on, mm-hmm. let alone I'm not going to get paid on that. So you think about that same bias of if I'm associated with the same company that's selling the product. You know, you think about some of those larger financial companies you see the commercials for during all the football games and everything. That's how they pay for those things. But the idea is you've got to be aware of how are people being paid?
Mm-hmm. And the tax part of it is what is crazy to me. We have a lot of those conversations in staff meetings where we're constantly looking at, or you're constantly looking at ways to save our clients money on their taxes. And it because the tax laws change. Do they change every year?
I
feel like they
truly
change.
Truly, they
constantly
do. There may not be major changes, but there's always that adjust things that adjust for inflation, things that are expiring that year. You can pretty safe to
crazy.
Say there's going to be things that change. Now, how major they are is where people can debate. But again, the nuance of is this the best year to do this or that? Mm-hmm. If you've been rinse, wash, repeat, do the same thing mm-hmm. for 20 or 30 years even, mm-hmm. and now you're coming up on retirement. For instance, saving in one type of retirement account. Maybe it was all pre-tax. Maybe it was Roth. Maybe you didn't want your money in there and you put it just in a brokerage account. You may be over-concentrated in one area or another just from a tax perspective. Mm-hmm. You might be very diversified, but when you need money in retirement, you are always going to either pay taxes or maybe you paid too much while you're working. There's a few things there that you really have to know. What are the push and pulls of this so that I can make the best decision? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to I've got to have the expert who's mm-hmm. current on things, who's looking at everything, who isn't just compensated by that one product, but is compensated by me saying, hey, I want advice. I want peace of mind. Mm-hmm. For me, that means tell me I'm on track for retirement. Tell me I'm on track for my kids' college. Mm-hmm. Tell me if something happens to me, the family's going to be okay. You know, that comprehensive stuff's what we do.
Yeah. Add Social Security to the mix. I didn't know until I started working here that Social Security is taxable. So, you know,
it always depends.
The tax part is scary to me.
Yeah,
you know, it really is in the long term, and I'm heading that direction. So I'm trying to soak it all in as much as I can. Let's talk about some potential pitfalls. So, you know, we can run through some lists, but a list of things. But I want to hear it from you guys. You deal with this every day when someone's thinking about hiring a financial planner and they've delayed the decision, And I don't know, does it matter what station you are? I guess it does, you know, because if you haven't saved as much over a lifetime and now you're deciding to pull the trigger, that's going to be a very big change for you versus somebody coming right out of, you know, into a career and hiring somebody. The procrastination paralysis, I guess, right, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if it were a perfect world, I would assign everyone a financial planner when they graduate. And I mean graduate high school.
Yeah.
I mean, before you go out there, think about it. You're giving 18-year-olds these giant college loans, them make decisions for life. You'd think they would have a financial advisor more than just these college people trying to sell them on their product, that four-year university.
Yeah.
So, again, it's not that kind of world. People pick and choose, and we love that. We love freedom of choice here. The idea of if I want a planner, I have one. If I don't, I can do it on my own. And that's where that scope of where do I want my help? What's going to give me peace of mind? Maybe I am comfortable with how I'm running my business. I'm on top of all that. But I really need to have a plan for what if I had a stroke? You know, that's the idea of financial planning rather than, oh, what's your business worth? Oh, what's your 401k done this year? That's financial planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody's a petri dish for that, too. I mean, whether you are raising kids or you have a parent move into your home or you have health issues, it's amazing how quickly life can juke and you're faced with, okay, what do I do now with what I have and how do I make the best of it? So having somebody in your corner that knows what they're doing can take the fear part of it out. Missed opportunities for tax savings. Again, I'm jumping back to the tax savings, and we're not accountants, but the compound interest aspect of it in tandem with the tax savings, I would think missed opportunities would be a big one.
We would sometimes taxes are negotiable. You were going to say something there, Cameron. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think maybe the big pitfall for anyone that's in that paralysis by analysis, waiting to pull the trigger on talking to someone, is just harping on being, I don't know if it's embarrassed or just being, thinking too much about what was missed, because financial planning, you don't usually look too much in the rear view. You're looking, what can I do today to maximize tomorrow? And not to throw someone else under the bus, but Cole is always his
but let's throw him under
Cole,
the bus.
Cole, I know Cole, one of Cole's big things that he teaches is that he wants to make sure his clients are marrying maximizing today and tomorrow, because planning can, to a fault, if you're a type A kind of person, you're probably planning too much for tomorrow and sacrificing too much today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too much of a journey. It's too long-term planning is too long-term mm-hmm. to do that.
I love that, because I think there are a lot of people out there. I was one of them for a long time. You're so hyper-focused on saving that you just can't even really enjoy the today, the here, and the now, because you're worried about, okay, if I do this now, I'm not going to save that money for later. Yeah. And you just, the over-preparers, the type A's, this must drive them crazy.
The best time to take care of your car, take care of yourself, take care of your finances was probably yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but the second best time's today.
Yeah.
And the earlier you start, the better your plan will be, but you're going to be better off by having a plan than not having a plan.
Mm-hmm. What about the person that comes through the door with all the tools, the toys, the budgeting apps, the investment programs, who think that, you know, this is the way to roll when, you know, managing financial planning?
I would say that the first question I ask would be, how are all of those coordinating with whatever your goals are? Are you, you know, I wouldn't start with, you know, I don't look at people who have all the things in the world and think they have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would like to look at someone and say, are you, you know, whatever they want to aim for, if it's college for the kids, if it's retirement, if it's leaving a lasting legacy to family, to friends, are those in place? And if not, what do they want that plan for that to be?
And the marketing is so focused on the investment, and what you just hit the nail on the head that this is kind of, it's kind of a relationship, really, more than a game of numbers. I mean, if you're watching the Super Bowl, certainly you're going to get bombarded with marketing for investment companies, where to invest your money. I mean, they pummel you with it. And it seems like it's very one-dimensional to me. Like, you know, if, you know, I'm in this company, but for those who are just being fed this marketing, that you would think that this is really all about investing, and it's not, like what you just said. There are so many pieces
to
it.
And they're confusing.
I was gonna, I don't want to interrupt, but I'll just say one thing that I think we are huge proponents on is if you don't know why you're doing something, then you're better off not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We say one of our biggest goals for those that we work with and those when we have discussions in the back why we're here is to make sure the person we're sitting across from the table, whether that be the expert, the client, or family member, whoever, that they're more confident in whatever decisions they're making financially than they were before they sat down.
I love that. Recognize what you want in life before you kind of even approach the whole conversation, because it's not all about investing. There's so many other things involved. So overlooking key areas, we've talked about tax efficiency. Is there anything that we can put on people's radar to avoid overlooking in the process?
Avoid overlooking really everything. I can't help but say it, but you think about the rinse, wash, repeat of life. You go home, you take care of work, you go home, you make something to eat maybe if you're lucky, and then you go have a couple moments perhaps with your spouse or if you have one, and next thing you know, you're back at work again.
Mm-hmm.
And that weekend goes by so quick, whether it's take care of the laundry or the house stuff. I mean, we're real. That happens. So when do you take the time to make the meeting with the attorney and get the stuff together and fill out their questionnaire? That seems so simple for a lot of people. But like you were saying, Cameron, about fitness, we all know we should probably eat better and work out and walk more and all that. But do we make ourselves? Do we remind ourselves? Not usually. And that's where that value of having an expert to say, here, do this a little different. You may have everything you need to get there. You just have to arrange the puzzle a little differently. So that's I think the really neat part, though, where at any phase of life, depending upon where you're at, you may say, I need a little help. Mm-hmm. And you can get that help.
There would be a fraction, if any, one in this industry if there was one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think there are so many financial professionals out there in the world is because there's every financial fact or tidbit or whatever is so nuanced, and it's a great fit for some people and it's a terrible fit for others.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing what the right fit is for you and what the right kind of mix is why we do what we do.
Well, That's a great hard stop, I think. That's a point well made, and a lot more to think about than just investing, certainly. So start planning today to turn your goals into reality, right? And your future self will thank you. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.